Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend. I'm going to talk today about the gospel the church brings to us in today's reading at Mass, Matthew 10, verse 34 through 11, verse 1. And it's one of those places in which Jesus is addressing the apostles, the 12, and reminding them what it means to be disciples and what's required of them. And there's something fundamental, paradigmatic right here for each and every one of us who are baptized into Christ. We become his disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is a learner. Another word for learner. What are we learning? We're learning the life, the way of life of Jesus. And Jesus calls everyone who's baptized into him, into that relationship of, you know, you could say if you were around at the time of Jesus in Jerusalem, it would be common for you to see occasionally a rabbi walking through town and through Jerusalem, and behind him, two lines of disciples who are under the tutelage of that rabbi. In many cases, they would be living with him for a period of time, and they'd be learning a whole way of life. And everything that the rabbi had to give them, he would give them, and they would be identified with the rabbi. And so that model is an image of the nature of what we're being called into ourselves in relationship with the Lord. We're baptized into him, and we're baptized into a particular kind of relationship. There's lots of dimensions to it. We're children of God, friends of God, disciples of Jesus. He's our Lord. All those realities are present. But when it comes to understanding the call of discipleship, what's critically important for us is to understand that Jesus is the one who sets the terms of the relationship. He has a very distinct purpose in mind, to prepare us to meet the Father as the ultimate goal, to help form us into saints is another way of looking at it, teach us how to walk in holiness, how to yield and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul described it. Remember, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, proclaim liberty to captives, to obtain sight for the blind." And so in the life of Jesus, we see the Father's plan for each and every one of our lives, which is to come into a relationship with God the Father that Jesus himself has, that Jesus gives us a share in that relationship through baptism, when the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ is applied to our lives, and we're purified, and which makes it possible for us to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to be born again, to become children of God, to enter into God's family, and to be members of the church, the kingdom that Jesus is building. And Jesus is committed to discipling each and every person who comes to him. And so we all are seeking to learn Christ. So today's gospel reading is one of those places which Jesus is describing to the apostles the nature of the relationship. And it's important for us to be able to internalize that, especially at this moment in history, because we all know we're in the midst of a very serious cultural upheaval. We're all aware of the spiritual battle, the spiritual combat that's going on, the fight for authentic human identity and truth and the rest of it. And what this passage helps us understand just how total the relationship is between Jesus and his disciples and what Jesus expects from each and every person who enters into that relationship. So here's Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 and following. It says, "Jesus said to the apostles, 'Do not think that I've come to bring peace upon the earth. I've come to bring not peace, but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's enemies will be those of his own household.'" This is one of those very sobering and even shocking things Jesus says about the nature of things and the reality of what it will cost us to become a follower. And he helps us understand what the consequences or the reality of what's going to unfold in life, and that he's doing it because he wants to tell us the truth about the cost of what it means to follow him, but at the same time, to not be shocked when it happens, like something's going wrong. So it can be easy for us to say, well, look, yeah, I love being a follower of Christ. I love being a Catholic. But when things start going wrong in life, we can feel like, wait a minute, something's wrong. Or that when we actually begin to experience, as many people have in history of the church, the rejection that Jesus experienced in this world, understanding the nature of the call, it anchors us. It gives us a rock to stand on. It gives us a clear understanding so that when the disruption comes, and for many, many believers throughout history, it will come, the resistance of the world to the message of Jesus. And the more that people, his disciples, are identified with him, and the resistance is building in the culture at a particular time, the resistance to Jesus and his authority, his unique claims on the world and on each and every person, when the world begins to resist that and the powers of the world, then those who are identified with Jesus begin to experience the cost of following Jesus. So in his mercy, Jesus says these very difficult things to the apostles on the front end, and he wants us to be able to receive that and understand it as well. So we're ready for whatever comes our way. Here again, he's just saying, for I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father and mother, here's the key, whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is essentially telling us that to become a disciple, to become his follower, means that that relationship, the relationship we have with Christ, takes precedence over every other relationship we'll ever have. And that means, practically speaking, our first priority is to love Christ, to obey Christ, to follow Christ. And that the reason he said he came to set a man against his father, it's not like it's his intention to make that all happen. What he's saying is that in order to follow me, there's no limit to what you might have to face to become and remain loyal to me and the relationship that I've invited you into. And he gave us everything on the cross in order to save us and bring us into God's life, God's reality. He's the, you know, as he said in John's gospel, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Jesus understands that the whole human race is fallen and in darkness, and he's come to save us out of that darkness and bring us into the light, into the truth, into authentic goodness. He comes to define for us what love truly is. He reveals God to us. He gives us a clear picture and really the incarnation of what a human life is meant to be and what walking in the light, what it looks like. And so Jesus is saying to put anything before this relationship, whether it's a relationship with your father, your mother, a child, a brother-in-law, a sister-in-law, whatever it is, to compromise the relationship with Jesus for the sake of other relationships, or to, here's an example, or to draw a line in the sand. I remember not long ago hearing a woman sharing about, a Catholic woman, saying that at a certain point, one of her boys came out as gay, was engaged actively in the lifestyle, celebrating it, being very public about it. And she said in an interview that this was the line in the sand for her, that she would never do anything but support and celebrate her son's lifestyle. And if the church didn't like it, and in so many words, if Jesus' church didn't like it, if it's not the teaching of Jesus, then this is where she gets off. She said, this is where I will leave, because nothing's going to separate me from celebrating my son and celebrating my son's life and his choices, because I love him unconditionally. So this is the kind of passage that Jesus is articulating, this kind of the reality that Jesus is addressing, through this passage. He wants us to clearly understand that to put someone else or something else before the relationship, first of all, is a form of idolatry. Like in the example I just gave, the ultimate love of this woman's life is not Christ or God, it's her child. And she's willing to be a follower of Jesus as long as it doesn't disrupt that relationship in the way she thinks that relationship needs to be. And that's her threshold, and that's it. So Jesus is saying to us, understand, these divisions are going to happen. And so she had a choice of saying, well, is it going to divide? You know, if I follow Jesus, I'm not going to be able to celebrate my child's lifestyle choices. But if I do celebrate my child's, you know, lifestyle choices, I can at least remain united to my child, which is what I want most. And so she makes a decision. And so Jesus wants us to understand that this is what will happen. But then he talks about the consequences. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus isn't saying all these things because he's insecure and he needs a relationship with us. He's love itself, and he's come to rescue us and bring us into the kingdom that's going to last forever. This world and the values of this world are going to pass away. It's temporary. The kingdom of God is eternal. And this fallen world that resists the will of God and resists the will of our Lord Jesus is going to pass away. And it's already under judgment. And Jesus exposed that and exposed the sin of the world on the cross for us. And now mercy is going out from Jesus to say, come follow me. Now this is what will save you. Come and follow me. And to follow me means to put me first and to put nothing else before me. Because if you put something else before me, you're going to serve something that's less than you. You're going to remain attached to the world in a way that you're going to end up coming under the judgment that's upon the world. And I want to save you out of that. So another great place is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, Matthew's Gospel, the calling of discipleship. And I just want to read this, verse 23. It says, and he said to all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the angels. There's many baptized people today, friends, who are ashamed. They blush at the gospel. They blush at the claims of Jesus, that he's the only savior of the world, that he's the final judge of the living and the dead, that there is a heaven, that there is a hell. There's a whole set of things that Jesus talks about. Chastity is very, very unpopular. Lots of people blush at it, or that human sexuality is made to be expressed fully in a marriage, a covenant for life between a man and a woman. People don't like that. They're resisting it. The world hates it. And more people are being compromised by the world, those who are baptized, and they're agreeing with the world. And they find Jesus's positions on these things offensive or embarrassing. And now they're trying to change them. Jesus won't change. We need to stand with him in the way he calls us to. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.